5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk are go.
As a response to the Black Lives Matter movement, there was a movement on social media for Dalits, or the apparent lower caste individuals of India, to oppose the discrimination faced by them due to their caste. Producer Nirvana Holder spoke to Gladson Dungdung, who is a human rights activist and an author to Adivasi Rights in Jharkhand. Adivasi meaning the indigenous minority population of India. Dungdung talks about the structure and history of the caste system in India, and the grievances faced by the Dalits and the Adivasis. He shares some of his experiences and talks about the relevance of the hashtag Dalit Lives Matter.
Could you explain the caste system in India? Because the rest of the world does not really understand what caste system looks like in India. So could you give me a few words about what that would be?
Caste system is an extension of the Varna system, which is based off Indian society. And under this Varna system, this is a Hindu-based system. And under this system, they believe that God has created 4 pillars of this Indian society, you can say. So this upper caste, Brahmin, they are at the top. They believe that they're born out of the mouth of Brahma, the Indian god. So they are the superior. And then after that, Kshatriya, then Vaisya, then Sudra. Sudra is the lower caste, lowest rung in the Indian society. So this is how system works. And caste system was introduced out of this based on the work of different community. And later it became identity of the people. So now everything is decided on the basis of these 2 systems, Varna system and caste system.
And so when we talk about these 2 systems, who would Dalit be?
Dalits and Adivas, they are not even, you know, part of the Sudra. Basically, Sudra are called OBC, you can say. And then Dalit and Adivasi are called Ati Sudra. Though in reality, obviously, the Dalits are part of the caste system. But we, the Adivasi, are out of the caste system. We have our own system, which is fully based on community living. So it is not part of the caste system, but the radical Hindu group, they are included us in the caste system precisely because we are the indigenous people. And once we are part of that, then they can claim that every Indian is indigenous.
I was wondering, based on that, what socioeconomic challenges do the Dalit and the Adivasi face in India?
See, since everything is decided on the basis of caste, so-called upper caste, the way they have, you know, portrayed themselves, it is upper caste as a symbol of excellence. This has been portrayed in India. So your, you know, birth decides everything. If you are born in upper caste, then everything is there. And if you are born in either in Dalit or Adivasi groups, then you are a kind of subhuman. You are not even a equal human being. So if you try to understand it, or you, I can say that if you elaborate it, then reservation was actually brought to create opportunity for the Adivasi and Dalits. But for last, you know, 70 years and so, reservation has portrayed in terms of negative. In each and every debate, you will find they would always say that reservation has destroyed the country. Reservation has divided Indian society. Reservation is the main reason for backwardness of this country. And so on, all debate, you know, goes on in negative. If you are aware, recently in 3 judgments, Supreme Court said that reservation is no more fundamental rights. Though it is part of the fundamental rights in the Indian constitution. So you can see that how, you know, people are with full of prejudices. I would say most of the Indian minds resist and they are prejudices against Adivasi and Dalits.
The reservations being at universities and schools, right? A certain section of the university is reserved for Adivasi or like indigenous people to apply and get the opportunity to study at the university. But now it doesn't seem to be that way, as the Supreme Court is like taking away the power?
Yeah, obviously. Actually, the whole thing, what I could see is that because some right-wing Hindutva forces who is ruling the country, the BJP, who is actually, its ideologue or you can say political wing who is ruling the country and behind RSS. So now, they want to re-establish the entire, Varna system again. So they see that only the upper caste is supposed to be in the all top positions. And Adivasi and Dalit, they are supposed to be only as a servant. They should clean the dirty things, and they are not capable enough. They don't have capacity or they don't have quality to, become an IAS officer or minister and so on. So every time I talk to all the officer, Adivasi and Dalit officer who are in the big position, I have not found even one who would say that I was not discriminated because I am Dalit or Adivasi. And myself, I have seen, I would tell you, when I was selected as a state program officer of one of the program funded by European Union, an upper caste guy who was looking after, he was actually government officer. I went to get permission to have conference in a government, hall. He said, being Adivasi, how did you get into such a big position? Similar way, I was, organizing a big conference of media people. And then I wanted to invite an editor. When he got to know about my position, he said, being Adivasi, how did you get into this position? Similarly, when I was working in a funding organizations, I was put in the last rung of that organization, and other people, upper caste people, they were promoted. I was so upset.
I was wondering whether you could give us some more examples about this discrimination faced by the apparent lower caste people, because I've been reading a lot of things about people getting physically assaulted because they're in the lower caste or are Dalit or like indigenous. And I was wondering if you could give us some more examples about how this discrimination occurs in the Indian society.
Yeah, sure. For example, if there is a well in a village, and in village, upper caste and other different caste people are living, especially Dalits are not allowed to take water from that well or hand pump. Sometimes even they pour kerosene oil or other things to disturb. Many things happen in school, for example. Dalit children are asked to sit separately. And then now in even COVID, I have seen in my village area, government of Jharkhand had opened, kitchen for everybody so that nobody suffer without food. But then so-called upper caste people, they said, we will not eat food because it is cooked by Adivasis. So these things are going on. I can go on and on.
I was wondering, you've probably heard about the Black Lives Matter movement that has been going on around the world, and social media in India as well. They've been circulating around and about. But there was another movement about hashtag Dalit Lives Matter.
When this Black Lives Matter started, some of our friends, they started, we should also do the Adivasi Lives Matters and Dalit Lives Matter in India. Yeah, so something happened, but it didn't take place like what happened in US and other places.
But can you talk a little about what the thought was behind hashtag Dalit Lives Matter as a result of hashtag Black Lives Matter?
See, the very clear thing what's happening or what demands we make through all this campaign is that since Indian constitutions clearly gives each and everyone, or I would say Constitution of India, guarantee right to life with dignity, equality and freedom to each and everyone. That's why we are demanding that we all are equal human being. You cannot discriminate. There is laws like SST Prevention Against Atrocity Act and other laws also. But since the upper caste is ruling, upper caste is, sitting on those chairs which are supposed to enforce the laws and Indian constitution, they are not doing. Instead of this, actually, they are promoting the perpetrators. See, whether it is Supreme Court of India or parliamentarian or governments, everywhere you will see the same thing.
How do you think they're promoting that? Could you say a little about that as well?
Now we are taking it to person to person, house to house. Because we see, since the upper caste is ruling this country or states, so we cannot have hope from them. We cannot expect from them that they will deliver justice to us. So our hope is in our people. So we want to create a critical awareness. We believe that once our people are aware, if we get united and we fight back, then table will be turned. That is the whole hope. That's why we are campaigning, whether it is through social media or through, you know, a ground, grassroots activities, and all through literature, and so many things we are doing.
I mean, that essentially leads me to the last question. Do you think all the efforts of the public, all the combined efforts, and the hashtag as well, do you think they will matter in the long run?
It will matter. See, the problem is that majority of Dalits and Adivasis are not well aware, or even they are aware, somehow they are, you know, these upper caste people, they use religion as a tool. They discriminate Adivasi and Dalit, and when Adivasi and Dalits, they resist for their rights, they will say, we all are Hindus, we should unite, we should be united, we should be fighting, our country is, you know, in stake, Muslims are taking over, Christians are talking over. This kind of emotional campaign, you know, they do claim like this. And then finally, I would say majority of the Adivasi and Dalits, they are, you know, emotionally dragged towards them. That's how we were failing. So the belief is, once we are able to convince our people, definitely today, if not today, tomorrow, things will be better, things will change, and it is going to happen.
International Desk on 95 BFM. Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival is back for 2020 with 79 feature films and 7 collections of shorts, all from 41 countries, screening at home online. Premiere tickets are now on sale, so get online, check out the program, and get settled in for the cinematic event of the year. Whānau Marama, New Zealand International Film Festival, July 24th to August 2nd. Find everything you need at nziff.co.nz.
One-on-one mentoring with an expert in your field? Tick. A leadership development program? Tick. A $22,000 stipend? Tick. Your best possible future. Tick, tick, tick. Enrich your postgraduate studies and take your leadership skills to the next level with our Kupe Leadership Scholarship. Apply today at kupeleadership.ac.nz.
It's music.
We're an underground radio station. We say what we feel like saying.
We played it first.
The original originator. Go to 95bfm.com for show podcasts.
B-Wire. Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wives. Wife. No one. They shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
The government has announced a cash injection for family planning. I spoke to Julianne Genta, Green MP, Minister for Women and Associate Minister for Health, and also to family planning about this. I began by asking Julianne Genta about the funding boost and what it entails.
I'm very pleased to announce funding to help family planning so that New Zealanders can get the sexual health information and clinical services they need. This will be the largest cash injection from the government to family planning in over a decade. They will receive $427,000 to help reduce long wait times by increasing hours for existing staff, hiring more nurses and administrative staff, and addressing other cost pressures.
You mentioned wait times. I read that there's currently a two-month average wait time because of the backlog that's accumulated because of the pandemic.
During the COVID-19 lockdown, people's appointments had to be deferred, and that's led to a backlog that needs to be cleared. This funding will help address that.
And long wait times are a key issue because reproductive health issues can be quite time sensitive.
We want women to be able to get in there and get whatever health support they need, including access to those long-acting reversible contraceptives like the Mirena and Jadess coils.
How long do you think it will actually take before the effects of this cash injection are seen?
Well, I'm very hopeful that the money will be getting to family planning as soon as possible. I can't answer the question of how quickly they'll be able to deploy new staff, but I know they're an incredibly efficient organisation that provides indispensable services to New Zealanders, and I'm really pleased that we can offer them more financial support.
What other benefits will this funding boost bring?
The main goal is to reduce waiting times to ensure that family planning can keep their 30 centres open and see patients promptly. And of course, when young women, Māori women, those living in rural communities are able to access those primary health services at family planning, there are huge benefits in terms of their own health and their reproductive health.
Will a cash injection mean any expansion of services, or is it just filling a gap?
This particular funding is about addressing the additional costs and delays associated with COVID-19. It will mean that they can hire more staff, and it should reduce wait times.
This boost was in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, but family planning were already under quite significant financial strain prior to this. Why was there no funding boost before this?
The government has been very supportive of family planning. I mean, obviously, when we've been dealing with COVID-19 and a number of other unexpected issues in an already underfunded health sector, the government has had to prioritise. But I am definitely pushing for increased support for family planning because the services they provide are so important and critical to the health of our country.
This cash injection is a one-off funding boost. Will an increase in funding be on the table?
I think that will have to be a question for the new government after the election, but it would certainly be a priority for the Green Party.
I also reached out to Family Planning. Unfortunately, we had some technical issues trying to record the interview, but they did send me this written statement, which was very nice of them. Family Planning has welcomed the one-off funding support announced today, which will be directed to initiatives to reduce waiting times for clients. Family Planning Chief Executive Jackie Edmonds says, "We are grateful for the $427,000 announced today by Minister Genter. The additional funding will allow us to employ additional people in our contact centre, and increase nursing hours so we can offer more appointments. We were already under pressure prior to COVID, but the lockdown put even more demand on our services. While we offered as many services as we could over the phone during lockdown and came back into our clinics as soon as we could, we had our own curve of clients needing appointments, and it's this curve that has put us under extreme pressure." Ms. Edmonds says, though welcome, today's money will provide only temporary relief to our funding issues. Quote, "What we need is a fundamental shift to the way we're funded, which acknowledges that we're an essential service under extreme funding pressure." The minister's own media release notes that this is the biggest funding increase we've had in more than 10 years. "We have been saying for some time that without a substantive and sustainable increase in our contract funding, we're simply not going to be able to continue to provide the services we do." Ms. Edmonds says Family Planning is trying to navigate growing demand, increased costs, and more complex client consultations on a budget effectively the same as it was in 2008. Quote, "We are grateful to the Minister for the support announced today. We will, however, continue to make the case for contract funding which fully recognises and recompenses the work we do."
That was The Wire.
That was the Tuesday Wire for another week. Thank you to everyone who spoke with us for the show today. Thank you very much, Hannah, for being a wonderful producer and reaching out to multiple people, which is great. It was one of those days, but it was good. We sorted it out in the end. Thanks again to everybody who texted in or listened to the show today. We got in a couple of interesting texts about the initial conversation with Labour Party's Helen White and Green Party's Chloe Swarbrick about their Auckland Central seat. Got a text in saying, "Easy to say that you want to make it more affordable in Central and more green space. Any indication on how they will approach that issue?" We are heading towards the election, obviously, and we are looking at doing quite extensive election coverage in the weeks leading up to the election. So just hold on tight and I'm sure we will get Helen White back on to talk about how she's going to make those things happen. Somebody also texted in saying, "If I was in Auckland Central, I'd be voting Green. Labour should grow up a bit and play the game. No point in two left parties battling, so National will probably get back in." Yeah, so interesting. Thank you for texting in. Thank you very much, Hannah. And we will catch you later. Up next is the 1-4 with Jen.
Do is wrong. Get up.
23 positions in a one-night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after you just say I can.
Get up.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am. I got the jizz from a friend of yours named Vanessa Bett. She said you told her a fantasy that got her all wet. Something about a little box with a mirror and a tongue inside. What she told me then got me so hot I knew that we could slide. Get up.
23 positions in a one-night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after you just say I can.
Get up.
I am.
Here I am. Get up. 1, 2, 3, no, little cutie, I ain't drinking. Scope this, I was just thinking, you plus me, what a ride. If you was thinking the same, we could continue outside. Lay your pretty body against the parking meter. Strip your dress down like I was stripping a Peter. Balls, I'm in joy. Let me show you, baby, I'm a talented boy.
Everybody grab a body, pump it like you want somebody.
Get up.
So here we are.
My paisley crib. What you want to eat?
Ribs.
I'm a toy, I don't serve ribs. You better be happy that dress is still on. I heard the rip when you sat down. Honey, them hips is gone, but that's alright, I clock them that way. Mind me of something James used to say. I like them fat, I like them proud. You gotta have a mother for me. Now move your big ass round this way so I can work on that zipper, baby. Tonight, you're a star, and I'm a big dipper.
Jin never hurt anyone. The Tuesday 1 to 4 with Jin. Thanks to Bikes and Beyond, your e-bike and e-transport specialists.
Take the food, got the dirty vampire, not them Dracula suit, right?
tell them I'm ready, goofy, tell them again, yes. Tell them I'm ready, goofy, tell them again, Geneva. Tell them I'm ready, goofy, tell them again, yes. Tell them again, why?